Joined now by City Administrator, Northfield City Administrator, Ben Martig, and Northfield Mayor Erica Zweifel. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm just looking at the agenda from the meeting last night, and I have no idea how long the meeting went, but you guys had a lot going on last night. Now, this is a substantial, buzzword seems to be, this is a robust agenda. So you guys did a lot last night. Let's start with the presentation of the Percent for the Arts annual report, which I thought was kind of a timely thing.
Yeah, so we gave a little summary. Annual reports required now for the 1% for the mm-hmm. art. Again, we have 1% on capital construction projects over $25,000 goes into a fund into the direct project, depending on the particular art piece. Then as part of that, the Arts and Culture Commission helps deliver that, and they give an annual report every year. And a lot of the focus on this in 2024 was planning around some larger projects, but also had some particular highlights, I think, and such as the Oasis mural, I think, out at the library.
Yeah.
Was a beautiful piece that actually goes from inside the building out, and I think it really brings life to the mm-hmm. space and a vibrancy to that, and it's been very well received over at that facility with the library Oasis. We did some concepts on Bridge Square, kind of preparing for the construction documents to see how some of the art might be integrated with that, looking at Indigenous people recognition, again, kind of building off our land acknowledgement statement, and really kind of having meaningful and thoughtful kind of experiences there. So a little bit of planning on that one. That project's a little bit on hold. We'll see where that one goes. But they've got some initial ideas should that project kind of continue to move ahead with that. The comprehensive plan going on right now, actually some of the visuals that's getting integrated is from a local artist who's going to be right in the Rocky Casillas, who's done work in our library.
He's done great work. Yeah.
And then we did some water treatment plant concepts where parts of the project are on hold. We are going to be continuing to do some site work, bringing some utilities mm-hmm. out to that site, and we'll be discussing with the council kind of the future of that coming up. But there was some initial concepts to integrate with that, and again, that one, sometimes we time with projects where we wanted to have an education part of the experience where art can help also explain some background, and you can maybe integrate some learning
yep.
along with that. So where does our water come from, what's the supply, those kinds of things. But also make it visually interesting to draw some attention there on that one, too. So that was kind of another planning one. So that was a little bit of a look back on the 1% for the arts and a look forward. They've got a few things in the works that they're looking at. The ice arena wall, there's going to be a mosaic on that one. That project's kind of coming to a head in early May, so we'll see where that goes forward.
Is that the above the entranceway, is that what we're talking about?
No, some of the exterior finish on the precast concrete panels is an alternative on the bid that would just give some visual interest. The mosaic on the wall would be inside the building, basically behind the seating where the spectators are.
Okay.
And so they're exploring some of that. And then downtown placemaking. Unfortunately, the Friends of Downtown weren't able to get another local grant for the downtown work, so we're going to help supplement that from the 1% for the arts to be able to still bring some local art and talent to kind of do temporary art pieces, which I think people like to see.
We love that. I love that, at least. Mm-hmm. I won't speak for all 20,000 Northfielders, but I love that. Yeah. All right. The one thing I'll ask about the consent agenda, I never actually ask about the consent agenda, but Central Park was on the consent agenda last night, and there's a little bit of confusion, at least out in the lobby this morning, but we think that Central Park is now historic, right? It got voted, it got the yes, that was the second reading. I had been under the impression it needed three readings. I'm probably wrong. Central Park is fine.
Yeah, I believe I said I signed something. I signed a lot of things. That one I remember specifically. So I did sign it. So it's my understanding that it is now historic.
An historic site.
Yeah, two readings. And I think that gives us an extra check, but I think three might be a little overkill if we had three readings required. So technically, it's probably 30 days from adoption that it's officially in place. Okay. But yeah, I'm just kidding.
It we'll is, go it with
it. It's fine. I don't need to know. You guys are the ones that need to know. All right. So we start off then on the regular agenda with the Spring Creek Road project. Anything exciting there?
The main thing was is we had one of our counselors, Counselor Holmes, actually sits on the golf board, and we needed to get an easement from the golf club related to the Miltons Trail project, so it was removed from the consent agenda where it normally be, so that she could abstain from that, which I think is appropriate, and not have either a legal or perceived conflict of interest. So she chose to do that, which I think was appropriate to do that. And just a heads up on the Milltown State Trail project, though, we're finalizing one last piece related to the easements, and it'll be coming forward. Well, that project will be coming back to the council very soon. There is additional phases in the works. We do have a neighborhood meeting that includes some projects on Thursday night, tomorrow night at 5:30 in the second level of the City Hall. And the council in May will be having some actions coming forward to continue to move forward with that project. So we're excited to see the entire state trail inside Northfield work to get completed. And I think we're making some good progress with the section of the trail off of Armstrong Road between Dundas and Northfield. We've been coordinating with the county and Dundas and the DNR to try and get that segment in that road reconstruction. Armstrong Road's coming up in the county plan in a couple of years. Okay. That would reconstruct that one, raise it up, and have it meet the state regulation. So we're excited to kind of get that trail completed within Northfield.
That's actually really exciting. I mean, we've only been talking about this for three decades. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I think this is super interesting. You had an amendment request last night from the Mayor's Youth Council. Huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we sure did, and it sure was. It was
okay.
I just loved all aspects of it, and from hearing the youth talk about it prior to bringing it forward, and so they brought forward a recommendation that people who speak to the council in public at our meetings are no longer required to state their full address, state exactly where they live, and so it was one of those things when it first came up, you know, you say, well, why do you do that? Well, that's just the way, you know, it's one of those, we've always done it that way.
That's how we do it. Yeah.
So it was it was a really nice perspective when having youth shine a light on something and say, well, but that doesn't make sense. You know, do you need that information verbally from someone when they're standing at the mic? And we decided the answer was no. And there are a lot of good reasons for removing that that requirement, so it reduces barriers to anyone who may be thinking about coming to speak to us. It addresses safety. It's some people, that's one of the barriers, is feeling unsafe in that moment, having to state your address, and just really adds to our welcoming, inclusive goals as a city. So I just thought it was fantastic. It was written by youth. It was presented by youth, and so worked really well.
That's great.
Yeah, you love to see those the kids getting involved like that. It's just fantastic.
So moving forward, will folks just have to say, oh, I'm a resident of Northfield or a community member, or do they even have to say anything at all?
They have to fill out
just their name.
Just their name. That's it.
They fill something out before they speak. That still requires their address.
If they'd like
correct.
To get a follow up, they can. We do have a phone number and things if they want to get followed up with it. But the main thing on testifying is just the name on that. And I think that's appropriate. Right. If they want to give it more information on that card, that's always available. But I would just add just to call her out specifically, shout out to Elizabeth McCormick, the student. Really did a really fantastic job of presenting, and I'm sure anybody might get nerves sometimes coming to the council. I mean, it kind of feels like home to me, you know, when you work in that environment all the time. It feels completely comfortable, but I know that's not always the case for people. So she did a great job. I thought, wow, what a talent.
She did.
Especially to challenge something that's always been an established protocol. That's not always easy to do. So that's great that she was able to make her case.
Yeah, and I was just at their all boards and commission meeting there over at the library right now getting a tour, and it was lovely to see all the youth really celebrating Elizabeth and thanking That's Elizabeth awesome. For making the presentation and being the spokesperson.
That's great.
That's fantastic. Congratulations to young Ms. McCormick. This is one of my favorite things that we talk about with it because I can't wait for this to be done. The Railroad Quiet Zone came up again last night on the agenda. You're looking at Spring Street and Fremont Avenue now, is that right?
That's correct. So we have to do it in phases. It's a huge project, so it's been happening for a really long time. We've been talking about it. We talked about it, you know, when I was on the council previously, decades ago I started. So, it's been, I almost had this moment, and I did have a moment where I just thought, can this be real? Is the end in sight? You know, I know 2028 may seem far away from now, but when I started, I first ran in 2008 for the council, and I think it was this, well, let's keep trying, let's keep taking steps toward this goal, and right. So it's really amazing to see that the dedication and the commitment to every time there's an opportunity to put in a missing piece of that safety requirement puzzle, mm-hmm. that it's been done, and we are still moving forward, and we have a goal in sight.
So Fremont and Spring Street, this is the crossing that is sort of on the, like, the farthest north.
North, of, yeah. Yeah, just north of the Dairy Queen there.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. We've done, if we get this done, we've done St. Olaf Avenue, we've done 3rd Street. So then it's just 2nd Street, well, just 2nd, and then the Highway 19 crossing.
That Highway 19 crossing will be that last piece in 2028. Yes.
Yeah. 2028. Okay. Hopefully, MnDOT will still come through for that. But that's the that's the reconstruction, and we did some of our local transportation committee advocates have been lobbying MnDOT to do some additional improvements on that, and they went for a federal grant and received it. That's also helping to get those put in. So that's important with that.
Can I ask when they received that federal grant?
That was my thought. Exactly. They're still getting it.
Keeping a pulse on all of those. Okay. And until we hear on some of these projects, sometimes maybe speculate which ones are more likely, you know, like unfortunately the National Endowment for the Arts and the 1% for the Arts issue when we applied for. Some of that type of funding might be a little more at risk than some of these infrastructure ones, but we're certain to keep a pulse on that. I did want to call out, too, on one of these quiet zones that we're working on, because this was just the professional agreement. There'll be, like, owner or neighborhood meetings and things on that, but there's going to be probably some concerns and challenges with Spring Street, because if that intersection of 2nd and Spring Street comes to a head, excuse me, and so you have to have these, like, protected curbs, and then there's arms that have to get installed later, and that's where we get the grants for the arms to come in later. But the proposal is to basically dead-end Spring Street there, and there are people who use that as a cut-through, and you have the church there and the school, and so those are, I'm sure, will be some changes in people's behavior. But in order to get the alignment to work, there really isn't a lot of other good alternatives, and so I'm sure that will be a conversation that we'll be having to kind of figure that out. So it'd probably be a cul-de-sac, or I think they called it like a hammerhead, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. I'll have to take a look at that alternative design, but it's basically like a cul-de-sac might be installed at that location.
I can't speak for the people who live there and who use Spring Street right there, but I have to believe that if you're one of the people that lives that close to the tracks, you're not going to argue too much about the train.
The quiet zone, yes.
Exactly.
I would say when I'm having a bite to eat at Tanzenwald, the train whistle being blown is not something I like, but sometimes the rumbling of the track gives a little bit of uniqueness, too.
It's I don't mind the rumbling. but
definitely not if you live next to that.
But the whistle just gets obnoxious.
Right,
so.
Absolutely.
All right.
And that's me speaking, folks. That's not the city.
Personal opinion.
Exactly. All right. Let's talk about cannabis and regulations to have a dispensary in Northfield.
Yeah, so very technical kind of item. I think as part of the process, state law requires us to have some type of licensing in place, and the city can delegate that to the county, but we're proceeding ahead to do it locally. We've commonly do licensing for other controlled substances mm-hmm. with tobacco and alcohol mm-hmm. and some of those other ones. So our attorneys have been tracking the law, and this is, I would say, we have a two-step process of ordinances going on. One is this licensing piece that's coming directly to the council on this first reading last night that was approved. And then the second piece is going through the planning commission, because there's zoning implications of, like, what types of different types of cannabis operations mm-hmm. are there, where can they go. That's going through the that's gone for review. There's been a public hearing that's on the planning commission's agenda Thursday. It will be coming back to the council in May. But basically, there's not a lot of local licensing regulations that can put in place. We have to have at least the ability to have two under state law based mm-hmm. on our population, but could be more. So there, one policy consideration is whether the council wants to put a cap mm-hmm. on those or not. So the initial ordinance has a cap. It sounds like we might need to refine the language based on the attorney's discussion a little bit last night. But the council might have some discussion on the second reading to determine whether they do want to have some limits on that. And then the hours being set are 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. mm-hmm. on some of the ability to operate. And so those are probably just a couple of the details on that one. But there's two readings, and the state came out with some new rules on Monday. So it sounds like there might actually start to be some licensing this year coming forward. It's been a slow start and some confusion on this, but we want to make sure we get these in place soon to be prepared for those licensing when they come through the state.
The as it's written right now, the local ordinance does have a cap. Do we know what that number is?
Yeah, so right now it's basically the more restrictive of either two licenses, or if the county meets the criteria, then there potentially wouldn't be any, I think, mm-hmm. if I understood that right from the attorney. So we'll probably come back with some alternatives for the council, because it sounds like there might be some interest to have some discussion on that particular piece on the second reading.
Okay.
So other than that, I don't think we heard too much for other sections, maybe for feedback on that second reading.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then you you got to talk about your wish list for 2026 with the bonding bill from the state legislature next year.
A little more on the process, I would say. Do you want to speak a little bit to what the bonding is, Mayor, or kind of where
right.
we'll be discussing?
So we have the opportunity both at the state and federal level to work with our representatives and put in requests for bonding dollars. Mm-hmm. And so that process has become a little bit formalized over the years. So it's clearer now when your request needs to be in. So meetings, I've received emails from all of our representatives about the process and the timing. So as a council and a city, we're trying to get the process in place so that we meet that deadline and that we have a really thorough discussion of what's on our capital improvement plan and our capital equipment plan wouldn't apply here, but mm-hmm. So the capital improvement plan and what we see in the future that would be a good candidate for some of these opportunities. One of the things I think about is the passion of each legislator and trying to find a good fit for potentially what committee they're on and what they would be most passionate about bringing mm-hmm. forward and being the best advocate for mm-hmm. us.
Anything identified specifically yet?
We didn't talk specifics. We did look at the CIP and looking ahead, the library exterior work is on the CIP. And there's some work at the NCRC. There's a river wall, flood wall. And then I also put, I just myself thinking about any way to sneak transit into the list. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, that's not on the CIP. That's just something I'm always thinking about. Is there any way to work transit or pedestrian safety into whichever of these we
sure.
move forward on?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would say even if it's not on the list, I don't think it doesn't need to be sneaking it on. We've been talking about transit. We've been talking about transit. The transit hub, actually, we got state bonding thanks to Todd Lippert was our representative at the time.
Yeah.
He was a huge champion of that. And we got that funding, and not very far down the road here, we're going to be having a ribbon cutting on the new transit hub. That's been a little bit of a slow go here on the construction, but it looks like it's active again. So we're getting close to the end on that one. Mm-hmm. And again, it's usually it's got to be these capital projects of kind of regional significance. So there's got to be some tie beyond just the borders of Northfield that there's a larger impact, generally speaking, with it. But it's basically a grant that you get for usually about half the cost of the project is typical. You can request less, like no local match of funding, but usually that makes it not as competitive.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more local projects we're competing with at the state, and local projects usually come after the state priorities. Yeah. So to the mayor's point, you really want your legislators to be supportive and also hopefully be something that statewide they can see as a good investment. And it requires a supermajority of the legislature and the governor. So these projects happen everywhere in the state. So I often say to people, too, that if you don't put in a request here, it's not like they're going to be issuing less debt at the state level. Right. So in my opinion, you might as well, if you've got some good project, you might as well give a shot at it, because these projects are going to go to better all of Minnesota, and why not Northfield?
There is a bonding bill in the works in the legislature right now. I'm not super optimistic that it's going to get passed this year, but does the city have any requests in for this bill?
We had the Bridge Square project to pay for half of that cost. Again, in the road reconstructions around that site are more than half of the cost of that with the infrastructure and things. But we'll see where that one goes. Been a little slow going on that one. Mm-hmm. But, we'll put a shot in, and we'll look this time around here in May what the council might want to do for the upcoming one.
Okay, cool. Anything else you guys want to discuss while you're here?
I don't think I have anything.
Do you know the date of the outstanding award for the arts?
The Living Treasure Award.
Bob Gregory Bjorklund.
I didn't have that at my fingertips, but we can.
I was hoping there might be a poster in here, because I did not write down.
Oh, well, hang on.
It's at the Grand.
We've got a machine here.
It's at the Grand. Well, I'll just talk for... I think here we go. Just breaking news.
Logan on the spot.
I think it's Sunday, but don't quote me on Sunday. It will be a news story on Friday, so it will be in the news on Friday, because I know it's this weekend.
But congratulations to our Living Treasure, and I apologize for not having the dates at my fingertips.
Sunday is Easter. I'd be a little... A Living Treasure Award about the... Nope. It doesn't say when, but I know that Bob Gregory Bjorklund is the recipient of that award, and
it looks like... Monday, April 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Grand Event Center. We'll be recognizing that, and the community's invited to that event. So,
week from
thanks
Monday
to search engines, I got it.
There we go.
Outstanding. Okay. Well, we always appreciate your time, and you're a little overtime, so thanks for your extra 5 or 6 minutes here. And it's always good to see you guys.